Topic 4.15, describe how natural selection can lead to adaptation and evolution. So, say you've got a load of beetles, and in the population, naturally, some of them are brown, some of them are green. If so happens that the predators prefer the green ones because they're more visible on sandy ground, then they will eat the green ones. This leaves only the brown ones available to reproduce. So the next generation will have a higher percentage of the alleles for making the colour brown in the population than the green alleles. Over time, as the disadvantaged individuals are picked off by predators, effectively the entire population will become brown. This is the adaptation of the beetles. It was initially just some aspects of their normal variation, but it proved to be useful because it made them less likely to be killed and eaten than their green counterparts. So it conferred an advantage of them. Therefore, differential reproduction took place, and the percentage or frequency of those alleles in the population increased. Effectively, evolution is simply a change in allele frequency. As an example, further, mutations arise in a population on a regular basis. The unfavourable mutations, those that are disadvantageous or deleterious, result in reduced fitness, so they are selected against. Those that are advantageous result in an improved fitness, so reproduction is more likely to occur among those that have an advantageous mutation. So the favourable mutations are more likely to survive and reproduce. This leads to a change in allele frequency again in the population. These are examples of what's referred to as microevolution, the slight change in the frequency of the alleles over time to enable a species to be better adapted to its habitat or niche. So examples would be the gradual increase in human height, for example, a gradual increase perhaps in Homo sapiens' brain size over time. We're still the same humans that we were 10,000 years ago, but we're bigger, we're stronger, we're living longer. We are doing pretty well on the whole reproduction thing, as 7 billion of us will attest. However, there comes a time when eventually all these tiny little changes, this microevolution, adds up to a big change. If you have enough time, and we do, we have about 4.5 billion years for evolution to take place, then we could have an entire new species arising. Refer back to your definition of a species. If your end product would have been completely incapable of reproducing and producing fertile offspring with your starting population, then you've got a different species. If you separate one population, if you isolate them, and they mutate and adapt to a different environment, a different habitat than the parent population, they may no longer be able to produce viable offspring. As a result, we would say they were a different species. You're going to be looking at speciation in far more detail next year. But suffice to say, selection could change a species, or it may stabilise it. This is because it results in changes in both allele frequencies, the number of different alleles, and the phenotype frequencies, the number of different physical or chemical characteristics. You could have disruptive or disparate evolution or selection, where the middle ground is selected against and the extremes are selected for. A stabilising or conservative selection will remove the extremes and favour the average. Directional selection will favour one particular end of the bell curve over the other. And you will see examples of all of these in nature in some way.